Hello and welcome to the Stealthy Auto Show. Back for the first time in a while because we haven't bothered doing one, but we're back now. Hello, Jack, if you're listening. I'm Sean Smith and I'm joined by Sam Green.
Hello, you are indeed.
Today we've started a new mini series, which might turn into a bigger series. Depends if people listen and or if we need more cars. Now, here's the background. Both Sam and I are potentially putting the feelers out into the market of cars to see what might be available in the near to mid future. For reference, of course, I have my 1999 Toyota Celica, 140 horsepower, top of the range at the time of launch, in dark blue, best car in the world, in my head. And Samantha, you have a Mini, which is a BMW, and it's green.
It's a 2020 Mini Cooper S in British Racing green with white stripes and a white roof. So it's a Seven Nation Army as well.
It's what you might call, some people would call it the classic colours of Mini.
Yes.
I call it green because I'm a bastard like that. Right, today, this first episode is going to be looking at what cars can you buy, or sports cars, to be specific, can you buy for $5,000 or less, which is potentially where my budget might be should I choose to replace my Celica. Depending on what the garage say tomorrow.
So there is two schools of thought with this. Sean has looked very much at what realistically
do I like?
would he buy for £5,000? I heard its sports car has to be £5,000 or less. So I searched for £5,000 sports cars.
So Sam's forgotten who I am, which is, I say 5,000, I mean four. but preferably two. But anyway, we're gonna go through some options that we've found through our not sponsor Auto Trader, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. If they do want to sponsor us for this, then feel free. But and
if you want to give me a car, then even better. Right.
Yeah.
Let's just go through the baseline, which is of course the Toyota Celica, the greatest car in the world ever.
So this is the car feasibly that you might be releasing, shall we say, rather than.
No, I've always said that if my Celica ever died, I would probably get a new one because I love the car. It looks great. It's got the sharp angles of the 90s mixed in with the sort of turn of the millennium aesthetics. It's got a 1.8 litre engine, 140 horsepower or 190 horsepower if you go for the slightly more powerful one that came the year after. You can get the facelift, which makes it even more angular and angry. However, as Al and Sam like to remind me, and Corey actually, all like to remind me, it is, of course, front-wheel drive.
Yes.
Which I don't have a problem with at all. But you lot seem
with
to...
With that in mind, though, Sean, shall I tell you what my first choice was that please. I looked up when, or that came up when I was searching?
Please do.
It is a 2003... 122,000 miles.
That's
Celica.
That's just below my one. Mine's 126.
Okay. Well, for some context, Sean, this one is worth £650.
Is it?
It is, yes. And okay. Would you like to know why?
Yeah, yes, I would.
It's a Category N write-off.
Oh, my favourites.
It's been driven into by a van. Apparently, according to the description, on the passenger door, has reversed into it.
Is it a red one?
It is a red one, yeah.
Yeah, I found it.
You found it, yes. I thought you might do. 8 previous owners for this car.
Oh, that's nothing. I'm the 10th on mine.
Whoa, blimey. So there you go. There's potentially a replacement for yours. Should you need it?
Yeah, but apart from the fact that this one is a worse colour, has crap wheels, doesn't have a rear wing. That's the point, but doesn't have a rear wing. That means it's instantly taken out the equation of Celicas.
But it is 10% faster because it's red.
Yeah, but it's got 1,000% less downforce.
That's true. And if you look through the photos, which I have done, it has a similar problem to what yours had, where the lacquer's coming off it, is the paint.
You mean the problem of a 20-plus-year-old car?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so all around the passenger side front light, the paint's coming off it, so it will need a respray.
Just like all Celicas, though, it clearly hasn't leaked in its life, because the boot area looks very dry.
It does look tidy, apart from the various bits.
The steering wheel's worse than mine.
The seller is also saying that he can't see any rust on it. Now, I don't know if he's looking particularly hard if he's trying to sell the car, but usually bodes quite well.
I mean, I can see some where there's been a crash. Oh, is that a leak? Yes. Never mind. Regardless, the Celica's brilliant. And we've now got to go through some options to see what might be better. Do you want to start on me?
Why don't you start?
All right. Well, everyone knows that of my cars, my favourite has, of course, been my Celica. But then there's a toss-up between what is my second favourite car of the six I've had. And in my heart of hearts, it's my Fiat Bravo, but that was a terrible car. So my Alfa Romeo Mito, my SIF car, which I had when I was working a long way from home and needed something which did more than 30-something mpg like my Celica does, which my 1.3-litre diesel did in my Mito, means that I have a very soft spot for Alfa Romeo. Now, Alfa Romeo, back in the day, made a car which I still think from the back looks horrible, but from the front is gorgeous. And of course, that is the Alfa Romeo Brera.
Now, these are good-looking cars. Yeah, I think you're right. The rear is a bit weird. It's a weird shape, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like it should, like the little boot spoiler, that should be a bit bigger, almost, to give it some shape, because it's just a bit round.
Yeah.
At the moment. Not very alpha. It's not very sculpted, is it? It's just kind of blobby.
It just looks fat compared to the front two-thirds of the car up to the C-pillar look great. And then
if that had the boot of the 147, well, it would be great.
Then it'd be a 147, wouldn't it?
Well, all right, but the front is like a little bit different to the 147, isn't it? But
yeah. It's got the Renault Megane arse that a couple of cars had back at the time, back in that sort of era, mid-2000s.
Yes, yeah. But I think it's a good-looking car,
I still think that the fronts of Alphas in the mid-2000s, so the 159 especially, this and the Spider, which of course is related, I think, to the Brera, has the same chassis.
Yeah.
I think they're still better looking than current Alpha faces.
I think you're probably right.
With the six headlights.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. It looks more Alfa Romeo, in my opinion. That's kind of how they should look. Jordan, our friend Jordan, of course, took a Spider to Le Mans and with our trip after Le Mans. And my main memory of that is literally the minute we got into Italy, the roof broke. we came out of a tunnel. There was a sign that said, "Welcome to Italy." And he tried to put the roof up because it started raining and it wouldn't go up. That was at a toll gate, literally on the Italian border.
Love it.
And so that was quite funny. But it was a good car. It looked good. And actually, I think the Spider looks slightly better because it's the cloth top.
Yeah, but I don't like convertibles.
No, I know what you mean, but it's not quite as bulbous at the rear because of the convertible.
Because it has a more boot shape, which does make it look a lot better.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. So there was a folding hardtop, perfect, but they didn't make one of them.
Yeah. Now, let's go to the stats of the Brera. The Brera's got a much bigger engine, 2.2 litres for the petrol model.
I would say there was a few options. There was a 3.2 as well, the V6.
Yeah, but I can't afford that. Slash won't afford that. it has a very similar 0-60 time, officially, of 8.6 seconds compared to the Celica's 8.7. But a higher top speed, probably just due to the larger engine and more power. 138 miles per hour and 185 brake horsepower.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at
all. Quick enough, isn't it?
It's it's probably the same speed as the 190 Celica. Which I prefer the look of. Overall.
So you're still not sold on the Brera? You prefer a late Celica?
I do like the Brera. I think the back end of it would really put me off, though.
Yeah.
I think it really does. I had my Mito. I love my Mito. Really, I'd like a Vast Mito, but that's not a sports car. The problem with the Mito was it was too high a driving position, and I'd worry as well that the Brera might be the same. But who knows? Maybe we'll have a look at that in future. What's your first alternative choice, Sam?
Right, so my first alternative choice is a 2014, quite a lot newer, Peugeot RCZ.
Yes, I love the RCZ. Well,
this is very much the same vein as the Celica in the fact that it is a front-wheel drive sports car.
It is.
1.6.
Yep, so it's the smaller engine, I think. So I think they had a 2 litre. Yes, they did. The RCZ, I like the RCZ a lot. I liked it when it was a concept back in about 2008, 2007. I remember Top Gear magazine showing it off, and I was like, "That's a car I want."
It looks nice. Like it's kind of just on the beginning of when Peugeot started making some nice looking cars again. There was this, and then the
1007. My fifth car, the 1007, the sliding doors.
208 GTI. Oh, they made that around the same sort of time, didn't they? That was quite a cool looking car.
Yeah, the 208 was a couple of years after the RCZ, but it's the RCZ was brilliant because it was based on the 308, which in itself is a good car. But the thing is, the RCZ is obviously due to the different shape, much lower center of gravity. It's actually not built by Peugeot.
Oh, is it not? Nope. Who built that then?
It's built by some Austrians who make the G-Wagons.
Oh, blimey. Okay. Mm. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
But do you know what the drawback is of that?
No.
That the costs of replacing things is very expensive.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's not because it's not on the normal Peugeot production line, no. Basically. The power is expensive.
For the 2-litre, 200 horsepower version... would you like to guess how much a set of brake discs and pads are?
Ooh, discs and pads. It's not.
Oh, sorry, on the front only.
Just on the front. So they'd be bigger on the front, I would have thought, assuming that logic. £200 both sides, like for both sides.
Times it by 10.
Blimey, really?
£2,000.
Really? What? Just parts? That's not fitted.
Fitted. But, oh, okay. But I don't know if you've ever changed a brake disc and pad on your car, Sam.
Yes, I have. Not for a little while, but I have.
I did it to my Celica this year and didn't die, but so that's all right. Okay. It's a piece of piss.
Yeah. It's literally maybe 2 hours of labour.
If you're very cautious and careful, which you should be when you're doing brakes, but...
But you can also only... When you're billing, don't forget, when you're billing labour, you bill for an hour. Yeah. So... If it takes you more than 1 hour, you bill for 2 hours. So, realistically, an hour aside, quite simple. That wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility.
If
you're going
incredibly slowly, yes. Yeah. also, remember this was, it took me, I don't know, an hour and a half, considering that I was on my driveway with a manual, what are they called? The thing you take wheels off with.
A ratchet, a breaker bar.
Breaker bar, is it? Either way, it's just a ridiculous price. So, Sam, as a owner of a previous sports car in your 350Z, I think the RCZ is much more akin to that than it is my Celica, because there's tiers in the sports car world. My Celica is kind of base. It's a proper sports car, but it is also the cheaper end. Your 350Z was mid to high, because it had pace to it that could go with stuff that's a lot more expensive. But it's a Nissan, so it was cheaper.
I'd actually put this in
between
the same. Yeah, I'd say it's in the same tier as the Celica, just the new version of, if that makes sense. The fact that it's actually a very similar car, just a more modern version of.
In terms of power, yes, and speed, it's I'd agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking purely on the advert that I found, and it's quoted as 8 seconds, 0 to 60. 133 mile an hour. So the Nissan was a good, 25 mile an hour faster than that. And obviously had six cylinders, V6 in that. About 30 more horsepower in mine, because mine was quite an early one, so it's about 180. No, sorry, 180 horsepower, I think, whatever it was. 280.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Either way, performance side and stats, the RCZ, I agree with you, is sort of in between the My Celica and a 190 and the Brera. It's the same tier as that.
Yeah,
but it does have some of the quote-unquote trappings of the more bespoke sports cars. Whereas a Celica, I think, shared quite a few parts, not necessarily... Yeah, the chassis is obviously... It's chassis. But there are parts on there which were also used with Corollas and Camrys at the time. Which made things a lot cheaper and a lot more...
That's true.
But the RCZ is more bespoke, quote unquote, but it's obviously, I do love the RCZ. It's a car which it was at that sort of time, so around late 2000s into 2010, where concept cars to production cars, there was a much smaller gap than there used to be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You could definitely see more of the concept car on the actual car. Things like when you saw a concept car and you saw that bubble roof and you went, that won't happen.
Yep.
And then it did.
Yeah,
it looks great. It looks like a Batmobile, doesn't it? If you got one in like all black, that would just be a front-wheel drive Batmobile made in France. Well, Belgium, but...
Austria.
Yeah, same thing.
if Germany didn't do anything. Yes, I mean, I'd... The thing is, all my best cars have been blue, apart from my Mito. So I've got
for a change.
So I'd have to get a blue one, and that's 4.2 grand. So I could. Oh, it's 200 horsepower one as well, in Littlehampton, 26 miles away from my house.
You see, this is the difference between you and me as well, friends. I just went nationwide.
Oh no, I didn't look at anyone local.
I just went something near. The previous owners, the one I've found, £5,000.
If I had to pick colours, I mean, the black ones with the silver/white arches, they do look good.
Mm.
And I did like the look of my 1007, which was black as well. I know no one else liked my 1007, but I did.
No. I really don't get my hope. I'm not going to lie to you, Sean. It was not a cool car.
It was cool. The doors were cool.
It was a van. Electric doors.
Were the doors cool?
Well,
to
kind
see.
Of reminded me of, no, well, you know those cars that you get for like pensioners that need a car and can't really afford one, and the local council give them a car so they can get the wheelchair in it. Kind of reminds me of that.
There is no way you'd fit a wheelchair in a 1007, I'll guarantee that.
No, it's not even big enough for that. It's pointless. But it probably saved being in the doors. But...
I will defend that car until I die. It was, you know, the fact that I only had it.
You will, but
I had it for 1 year and I got rid of it because of its Frenchness and I heard noises that I didn't want to hear. Is irrelevant, and the fact that those electric doors didn't really work and they would lock themselves and I had to disable the automatic locking in order to get out of the car once. Ignoring all of that. And the fact, that was the other thing. In the mid 2000s, Peugeot had these crap digital clocks. They were still kind of, I think it was green. You know, sort of like Nokia 3310 style.
Like digital.
It was a piece of shit. Sorry, I'm going to put the explicit language on for this episode. It was awful because the minute it got hot, the whole screen would just white out.
Right, yeah, so you couldn't actually tell what the time was anyway.
No,
yeah,
no idea. The seats were comfy, though. Anyway, that's a different car. RCZ, much nicer. This was when Peugeot was starting to decide to make proper cars again, briefly, before they made SUVs.
Yeah, this one, £5,000, 84,000 miles, three owners.
There's a red one.
I think that...
There's a red one, 4 grand, but it's got really high miles. And I said diesel, I'm not getting a diesel.
No, we need a petrol.
I'm not driving 5 miles to work in a diesel. It won't get hot.
No.
Right. No. We've both sort of picked the RCZ because mainly because I like it. And no, hang on, you lot all slagged me off last week when I suggested the RCZ.
Oh, I don't mind it. I just don't think I would want one.
Yeah, but you're in a BMW branded Mini, don't you?
Fine.
You used to have a Rover Metro, it's... Sam.
Yeah, but that was just cheap.
Yeah, but so that
was £100.
Yeah, but
I kept it for over a year.
My Fiat Cento was £350 and it was orange. That's why I bought that.
I still had that Rover when we started uni. I got that for my 17th birthday.
I like the RCZ. Let's go on to a car which we I don't know. Is this a sports car? Is it not a sports car? Basically, it's a Seat Ibiza, but it's the Cupra Sport Bocanegra, which means black mouth, which is a car that I've also really, really, really liked forever.
Now, I would argue that this isn't a sports car. It's a hot hatch.
Yeah, but it's quite sporty, isn't it? This one's red.
It's a good hot. Yeah, it's a good hot hatch. Don't get me wrong, but it is a hot hatch. It's not a sports car.
It's a
sports car. Therefore, null and void.
But regardless, 180 horsepower, Sam.
Well, I mean, that's not bad. That's about the same as the Mini.
Yep. What else? It will do many miles per hour because it's...
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Maybe 130, 140, I would have thought.
140. 140, 7.2 seconds, 0 to 60, which is, again, in the same ballpark as...
Quicker than the Peugeot.
Yeah, it's about a second faster than my Celica. Yeah. But I don't really want to... Again, the problem with all hatchbacks is that they ride high. Because they're built for mass market, they have a higher driving position. Just because that's the way the floor is designed and it's used across different models.
Mm-hmm.
However, this one is red.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. There's quite a lot of white ones of those knocking about, isn't there? Quite a lot of those.
In fact, think about it. I've never seen a red one. I thought they only did it in the sort of dark maroon red and the white.
White, yeah. I've seen lots of white ones. I might have seen a couple of those. Like
the description says, this car is a rare, bright red model... and has undergone extensive maintenance. That means they said a big crash.
is it a write-off?
I don't know, maybe. That's what. Also, not our sponsor. Car Vertical is for. or what was the old one before Car Vertical that you'd use to check my car history or something?
Yeah, something like that, wasn't it?
It's all good fun. I probably won't ever get a Bocanegra. Because you know. I still like them. And if Seat had ever bothered
making
a sports car, yeah, I'd consider it. Right, what's your next alternative, Sam?
Right, my next one, shall I start on the cars that I know you'll hate?
Yes.
Okay, BMW 6 Series.
I like the 6
convertible.
Series.
Convertible.
Oh, it's not a sports car, then. It's a convertible.
No, it is a sports car. It's a sports coupe. It's a convertible.
Why don't you get the convertible? No, God, there's this convertible is so ugly.
Okay, well, you're not going to like my other choices then. I'm not going to lie.
No way I can afford a 6 Series, is there?
It's $5,000.
Really?
It's 2007, 07 reg, $5,000. It is 258 horsepower.
Uh-huh.
At 98,900 miles.
Wow, that's not as high as I thought it'd be.
Technically, just in case, you know, one of the main things listed on as compliant. How on earth is that 3 less compliant? but whatever. It's a 3 litre petrol. It's a petrol.
3 litre? How am I going to get 3 litres warmed up by the time I get to work?
Running outside the flat for a bit.
I'm going to do laps.
Leave it running for a little while. Just let the car warm up. Be fine. It's in pretty good condition. Can't see any obvious damage or rot. It just looks like a big BM, basically.
I've always liked the 6 Series, the coupe, not the convertible. But everyone hates the face of it.
It's, yeah, I'm it looks a bit round.
Dopey.
It's like, yeah, a little bit. Especially the 2007. It looks like someone's like shaved off the corners of a 5 Series.
yeah, but I don't like the 5 Series that was around back then. I don't like any BMWs that were around back then.
No.
But I like the 6 Series.
Well, there you go. So this actually was not a terrible option for you. I thought it was going to be awful and you'd hate it.
God, I didn't know you could get a 4.4 litre version.
Well, yeah, that must be a big... Is that the V10?
V8.
Okay. That's this one.
But it's, 163,000 miles, though, for $4,000.
That is a lot.
It is. But
this one, I think, is a straight 6, so that's the M3 engine, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
254 horsepower, sorry. 155 mile an hour, as it's German.
So it's limited to that, then?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the MPG on it?
10? Oh, I'd imagine about 4? Hang on. Where's the running costs tab? There it is. Right. Would you like to guess the tax or the tax insurance group? Jesus.
Right. Well, these days, the insurance group goes up to 50, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So I'm going to guess it's 40.
No, it's 50A.
What? It's a,
it's 50.
It's the highest insurance group.
Yeah. It's why? Also, it's £365 in tax, £1 a day.
That's even more than my Celica. My Celica is about 300, but it's road tax I sort of take as a middle finger to the government and Greenpeace and that sort of, and you know, hippies.
Yeah, so basically I can afford to run my dirty car. You. Right, MPG. So it says here the extra urban. Which is like putting it around town.
Just do combined.
Yeah. Okay. Combined, 28.5 MPG.
God, that's bad. That's a third worse. that's really bad. And it's an automatic. And it's a BMW with a big engine. It will get nowhere near that.
No, it won't. No, because it's a 2007 BMW as well. So
if it does more than 20, then that's a win.
You've done very well there, yeah. That's gone down better than I thought it would. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were just going to completely shut that one down immediately.
I mean, if you'd said a 3 Series or a 5 Series, then yes. Or a Z3. I hate the Z3. And the Z4.
Ooh, well, we'll come on to the Z3 later then.
Let's do it now.
All right, I've got a 1999 Z3 as well. Oh
god, no, they're awful. They're the most unreliable pieces of crap. They are
great looking.
They're not great looking.
Brilliant. They're like a little tiny, like German MX-5. So yeah, it's good. And this one's black with a red leather interior.
Wow.
Silver wheels. So. That's pretty good. It's obviously a soft top as well because it's that one. This is the 2.8. So that's quite a lot of poke in that car. 193 horsepower in a little car like that. That's going to shift. That's going to be quite quick.
I was about to take the piss and say how much does it weigh, but actually it weighs about the same as my Celica. I imagine all of the weight is on the engine block.
I would have thought so, yeah, because it's probably quite a large...
It's aluminium, isn't it?
It's a 2.8 litre straight 6.
Yeah.
So again, that's a 3 Series engine, isn't it? So yeah, I would have thought it's probably a bit front heavy. But I think the gearbox in these was at the back.
Yes, they're also incredibly unreliable.
Well, the gearbox or just generally?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the reason I don't like the Z3. It's trying too hard and it's tripping over itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think they look good. I'm not a fan of BM generally.
Nope. Even though you have one.
I have a Mini. but the Z3 I think is a cool car and there's some really good color options on the Z3 as well. I look at and go, that's nice.
If the Z8 was about 20 times less expensive, I'd have that.
That's the one with the funny doors, isn't it, that fold into themselves?
No, that's the Z1. The Z8 is the James Bond car.
Oh yeah, the bigger one.
Yeah, but it costs it costs like $100,000 or something stupid.
Yeah. No, I think the Z3 is a cool car. That one is also £5,000. That's a 1999, 153,000 miles.
153,000 miles.
Yeah.
So it's clapped out, and they want how much for it?
Well, $5,000.
Is that having they're taking the piss? That's just BMW tax. No, I'm gonna slam this one right into the ground. I don't get why BMWs are so bloody expensive. Their parts are crap. They're expensive. They look awful. All BMWs look crap. They're just boring. They're for bankers. The interiors are bland. Oh, it's
the interior is red.
Oh wow, so the interior is 10% faster. Okay, cool. The dashboard of every BMW is bland and boring, and people say, "Oh no, it's a classic shape." It's not. It's shit. So there you go. I'm not getting a BMW. I can't stand BMWs. But it's rear wheel drive. So what? Just means you can't go up a hill in the snow.
This is what I was expecting when I said 6 Series, but it happened later than I thought.
Here we go. You've managed to get your reaction.
Yes, that was the main reason I picked that car.
It could be worse. You could have picked a Mercedes.
I haven't picked any Mercs. You'll be glad to know.
Al had a CLK he used to have?
It was a CLK. Yeah, it was the compressor, wasn't it?
Yeah, because that thing was awful. That's crap and panzer, as he called it. It's
not a good car generally, though.
No, it weighed about 4 moons.
There was a few S-classes in this price range that I thought, that's interesting, but then looked at it and was like, well, but it's like it won't move. It's like a 2.5-litre diesel.
Oh, God.
So it just won't go anywhere.
Why would they put that engine in it? It literally isn't going to move.
The most entry level S class you can get. So
there shouldn't be an entry level S class, in my opinion.
Well, no, I completely agree with you with that one. But yeah, there was I decided not to put those on the list.
Okay. Right. So no Mercs, good. So
what's your next one, Sean? Because I've just done two in a row. So
yeah, I have got. What should I go for? I'm going to go for this one. I've got two left. Now. We're talking about it with the 6 Series, about things that will cost me a fortune and then, you know, laugh in my face, but I might enjoy it. I have always, since 2005, probably when I first saw one, I just love the Mazda RX-8, which is a sports car.
Yes.
Even though it's got four doors.
It is a sports car. Yeah, but they're special.
It is special. It's got suicide doors and a rotary engine, also known as?
Yes. Terrible.
No. a Wankel, which is just a funny name.
No, I really like the RX-8, but there's always that underlying like horror that is potential rebuilds.
Horror.
Because it's a rotary.
Now, before...
we're coming up to Halloween now. Potentially a horror story, isn't it?
Yeah. I was like, I can't afford an RX-8 because it will just be an engine rebuild every like 10 miles. You can get one for $2,500. Okay, you can get a 73,000 mile version with 228 horsepower. which is apparently ULEZ. How is an RX-8 ULEZ?
All of the oil just to drive it through London.
Well, maybe it's because it doesn't have any because all the piston rings are gone.
Maybe, yeah.
Apex
seals, isn't it?
Yeah, Apex seals, is it? But yes, I thought, well, how much is an engine rebuild? According to Google, $2,500. So I was like, there we go. It's in the race, boy, everybody.
What we decided with that, because you can get an engine rebuild and still get one in budget, it's fine.
Yeah. If I was a gambler or earned way too much money, then I would have an RX-8 tomorrow.
I think they're cool.
I love them. They sound brilliant. They're fast. Some might even call them practical.
One of my so that when they first came out, I saw it on Top Gear.
Oh God!
Like, wow!
Sorry.
Look at that. That's really cool.
Sorry, I've just seen how much tax it is. Sorry, go on.
When they first came out, when I was quite little, the very, very first ones,
2004.
I saw them on Top Gear and was like, wow, that's really cool. I would like that. Not really understanding the engine and things like that. And then a friend of my uncle, he worked at a Mazda dealership at the time, and so he had one. So I had a little, like, ride in that, and I thought, actually, you know what, I really like this. My dad had Mazdas as company cars, not with a rotary, obviously, but I was like, well, Dad, why haven't you got an RX-8? You've got a Mazda 6. You might as well just have a Mondeo, but you could get an RX-8 instead.
What a burn.
Really got understanding problems there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a big burn for, what, a 10-year-old?
I was probably 9 or 10 at the time. Why haven't you got an RX-8? But yeah, looking back now, there's many reasons why you wouldn't have an RX-8 as a company car.
right. Sorry, when I gasped. I thought, oh, how much is the fuel economy? I knew it'd be bad, and it's like 25 miles to the gallon, which is very bad. It's got more chance of getting to 25 miles to the gallon though, because it is only 1.3, so it will heat up. However, have you seen how much the road tax is, Sam?
I've not, no.
Would you like to take a guess how much the road tax is?
Ooh, so what was that 6 series? That was like £365, wasn't it, in cost and tax?
Yeah.
So RX-8, I reckon around the same.
Yeah, about 300, yeah. 350. That's what I thought it'd be. Double it.
Really?
£700.
Jesus Christ. How is anyone driving these things on the road? Like,
you now know why they're so bloody cheap.
Oh, yeah, clearly. I mean, I did not know that. I didn't know they were that much. I didn't know the tax brackets went that high.
No,
I thought it kind of stopped around 500 quid.
No, I had no idea. But that's the thing, is that they must produce a coal mine every time they turn up somewhere. If they go to the shops, they just dump a whole load of like aviation fuel out of their exhaust.
Yeah, that's mad. I can't understand that. Because like that was when we were talking about that 6 series, that's a 3-litre straight 6. That's a big engine. That's over double the size of the engine in the Mazda. How have they come to that conclusion? Oh, I know how they've come to that conclusion, but like,
I'm just double checking on some other cars that are listed, just to be sure of this, because, like I said, I didn't know they went that high. Running cost $695. No, that's this one's even a slightly different insurance group and does 24 miles per gallon, 300 grams per kilometer of CO2. Jesus Christ, sir.
That's ridiculous.
That's not a mile, that's a kilometer. So, what's 5 miles in kilometers? Eight kilometers?
That is genuinely.
So, I would produce 2 kilos of carbon dioxide just to go to work.
That's madness.
I'd produce 3 kilos
of work. God, I had no idea they were that.
3 kilos of carbon dioxide, ignoring all the other stuff that comes out of your exhaust, but 3 kilos of carbon dioxide per day for a 5-mile round to and from journey. Oh my God, that's awful. Like, I don't care about the environment, but Jesus Christ.
You might as well just burn some like trees on your way past.
How much does it cost to turn one of these?
The same thing.
How much? This is Google now. How much to convert a car to hydrogen?
Oh God! Do you imagine a hydrogen rotary? You've done yourself in the shed.
I imagine it's many, many tens of thousands.
I would have thought so. Hydrogen fuel cell prices.
The thing is, you can't even like get an LPG conversion and make it better, because it's still going to produce 50 million tons of carbon dioxide. God, that's awful. Anyway, RX-8 off the table. What have you got, Sam?
Right, so I have realistically one more option that we haven't really discussed. So I have got a 2009, which must be quite a late one, MG TF.
I don't like the TF. If everyone goes on about it. There used to be a
little sports car, isn't it?
There used to be a guy on our course called Alex. I'm sorry if you're listening. I can't remember your last name, but he used to have an MG TF. And the only interesting fact about that car is it's mid-engined.
It is mid-engined.
That's the but that engine only...
is a Rover engine.
Is it
a
K series
or a Yamaha engine? I think it was a K series, which means the head gasket will go.
Yeah.
or I think the later ones had a Yamaha engine.
Which is a Toyota engine.
But even then, yeah. This one, though, like I said, it's a 2009, 41,000 miles.
Okay.
One previous owner.
That's
the guy's had it from new.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. It's got a remap. What? stainless steel exhaust. Stainless steel underfloor coolant pipes as well.
What, because there's no space above the floor?
Basically. This is a limited edition LE500 model as well, which is one of 500.
Are they limited edition? Or was it the case that MG weren't selling anything, so they just said they're limited edition?
Maybe. I don't know. It's an LE500. I assume the LE stands for limited edition. but it might be limited edition in the same way that the Vauxhall Corsa is. I don't know. but I think they built 500 of these ones by all accounts, and it looks pretty tidy. You would have thought by now, if it was going to be rot away, it probably would have done. The guy's clearly been a fan of it. But not that much of a fan because he's only done 40,000 miles in it.
that's how much I've done in my Celica in 8 years.
Yeah. Now this is 127 mile an hour, so it's
a bit slow.
Slow.
However,
134 horsepower.
I did say to myself that I will never go to the speed I once did.
Right.
When I took my Celica all the way to 77 miles an hour. Yes. It was, yes.
All the way up to the
For those who know, they know. Yes. So it's... I don't need it to be top speedy. But...
Yeah.
This
is only a 1.8 as well. 1.8 four-cylinder. So...
Yeah, but the problem is I don't like them. they're so boring.
Yeah, there is that as well. Yeah, I mean they're interesting, aren't they? We don't see many of them anymore. To be
fair,
that's
because they're all rotted.
Quite common, but there's not many left. So MGTF.
Let's move on to my last choice, which, to be honest, is probably, if I wasn't going to get another Celica, the most sensible, I suppose, option, most realistic.
Yeah.
The most, I don't know, it's probably in many ways the best option. And that would be the 2008 onwards Hyundai Coupe S3, which was the facelift with the better everything compared to the old S2. It's you can get a 76,000 mile 2008 reg for $3,500.
Blimey. That's not bad.
With a red leather interior. Obviously, 10 years newer interior design and features compared to my Celica.
Yeah.
This one
actually very... again, similar vein of front-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, similar kind of thing to the Celica, isn't it? Again, just a slightly newer version.
Same tax.
Yeah, they're not bad looking cars either, really.
Again, the S3, when that came out, I always liked the old Hyundai Coupe, the one from the mid 2000s. I think it's 2004 the S2 came out. The S3 is just, in my opinion, just better in every way. It's better looking. It's probably because Hyundai were getting, by that stage, they were actually making, in general, good cars, as opposed to the Hyundai Coupe and a load of crap cars, which they were doing beforehand. So the S3 is like just the sort of pinnacle of that, because this was before the... Oh, I forgot the Veloster. Oh, I've forgotten the Veloster. Sorry, right, yes, the Coupe was... I was gonna say the best car they made until the Veloster came out.
That was actually on the list.
Yeah, and I love the Veloster. Everyone, and again, another car people don't like, and they go, "Oh, it's not a proper sports car." It is. What's your opinion on the Veloster, Sam?
I mean, it's kind of a hatchback, isn't it?
No.
Also, I think we're having some latency issues, just so you're aware.
Yeah, you dropped out for a couple of seconds, but it's okay.
Yeah, maybe I think it's a hatchback, really, isn't it? It's just an American hatchback. It's a longer one.
No, the Veloster's great. It's got one door on one side, two doors on the other. It's a turbo, which, you know...
Yeah, it's just weird. It's asymmetrical. Why is it asymmetrical?
It's asymmetrical because it's cool and it's funky and it's interesting. The problem with Veloster is for this price range, you get much higher mileage.
Mm. But, I mean, it's a fairly standard engine and stuff, isn't it?
1.6.
Yeah, so it's probably not going to be too much of a problem if it's got some service history.
Hmm. That is true. That is true. I think I'd have a coupe over a Veloster. Oh, I don't know, because the Veloster's a bit cooler. You don't see Velosters out there.
No, you don't actually. They are a bit rare. You see more coupes. You don't actually see many of the coupes anymore, though, to be totally honest.
That's because they haven't been around for 10 years.
I suppose.
To close, have you got any more, or is that one, is it?
I have got one more.
Go on.
I've got one more. So I'm going to read out the spec and let's see if you can figure out what this one is. So
okay. This
one is a 2007 on an 06 plate. It's 132,000 miles, 5 previous owners, it's a 1.8. 3-door, technically has some back seats, 2 back seats. It's a manual. Would you like to have a guess?
How many doors has it got? 3?
It's a 3-door, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it... 2007? No, it's not one I'm thinking of. 2006. No, I've got no idea. What is it?
It's a Toyota Celica.
Oh, well, we started that already.
this is the £5,000 one, though, that I found.
Oh, yes, the nice one.
Yeah, so this is the good one. It's had a bit of a respray. It's got the big wing on the back of it, even bigger than the one that you've got on yours. It's got some side skirts and things like that, and it looks quite good. It's silver, though. Silver and black, with a black half-leather, half-Alcantara interior. That's a bit more interesting. I can't remember. Is yours Alcantara or is yours leather?
No, leather.
Okay. It has got the weird pocket in the middle of the dash that yours has got, where I would presume sat-nav would be if they'd opted for it, but they didn't.
Yes, you do see some people put sat-nav in, but mostly it is just a storage cubby for my sunglasses.
Yeah. This one has a limited slip diff as well.
Why?
Don't really know. It's a drive, isn't it? But it's got one.
Okay.
And it looks very, very tidy. So this is, yeah.
The only problem
probably
is,
a good option for you.
The problem is the only way I would spend $4,000 or $5,000 on a Celica is if mine was completely kaput. Otherwise, I would spend two grand, maybe two and a half, to just get mine keep going. Because mine is, here's the Joker card, which we considered talking about with each card, but we didn't bother talking about. The Joker of mine is, of course, that it is one of, I think, last time I checked, only 50 1999 cars left on the UK roads.
Yeah, really not many left of those. Although there is more of those than there is the Bravo.
Yes, that was the thing we found out this last week, that my beloved Fiat Bravo Formula 80 1.245 litre, they are now zero on the road.
It's functionally extinct. There's a few left in captivity with a Sorn certificate on them. None in the wild.
I classify Sorns as they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they're dead, aren't they? Let's face it. Sad day for Bravos, but not many of those early Celicas left either.
No, but to be fair, they did only start making them in September of that year.
Yeah, so they didn't make many in the first place.
No. So I guess that takes full circle, really. If you want a sports car for £5,000 or less, buy a Toyota Celica.
Basically, that's what Sean is going to have to buy as his next car.
And if you already have one, fix it.
Yeah, basically. Keep it on the road and never sell it.
Yes. And on that bombshell, as they say in Top Gear, that's our helpful consumer advice for the week. Do let us know your thoughts about this this style of pod episode, this sort of subject. Mention any subjects you'd like to look at in the future. Obviously, Sam's got his more modern cars, let's say, which he might be looking at in future. Yeah. And
I'm sure we'll cover that if this one goes, we'll cover those as well.
Yeah, and we shall see who else we can drag in for this sort of thing. I imagine Al would have lots of options to say if his MX-5. Well, he's probably, the thing is, Al's had most of the cars he wants. No, Al'll be worse.
Well, yeah, this is it. Al kind of finds the cheapest version of the car and buys that.
The problem with Al is that
he
has a stipulation where he will only have one of one type of car. So if it's front wheel drive, if it's rear wheel drive, if it's mid engine, if it's, you know, something, he'll have a stipulation.
Yeah,
he can't repeat himself.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I try to vary as much as I can, but I've only done one rear-wheel drive car, let's face it. The rest of mine have been front-engine, front-drive. I've not had a mid-engine car yet, but we'll see.
You can get yourself an MG.
Yeah, I could get that MG, couldn't I, for $5,000.
Nice.
Maybe not, though.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening. Follow us on social media at Stealthy Auto. And Sam and I will see you next time. Take care and goodbye.
Goodbye.
He said eventually.